glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for saved by grace, all the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Amen.
Amen. Being bound for heaven sure does give you peace in the world we live in. Amen. There's a new name written down in glory. Wanted to give you a quick update. I heard from Andrew Hallman this last week that his mom had gotten some good results from the doctor, from the scans that they did. Her name is Lori Hallman. We've been praying for her for quite some time with cancer. So continue to pray as she undergoes a bit more treatment and that they will enter into remission. So we praise the Lord for that. If you want to know some more details regarding that, contact Andrew and Jenny, and let's rejoice in what God is doing there. A couple of missionary updates I'd like to share with you today. Some of these have pictures, but we're not able to really show that. If you catch the live stream throughout the week, I do show quite a few videos of the medical missions outreach team that we support, Brother Drew Edmondson. And so there's not any pictures with this letter, but his letter is just regarding his family and some of the things that they've done. And so I just wanted to give you a quick update in that regard. So this is from Drew Edmondson with Medical Missions Outreach. He says, "Dear praying friends, springtime came and went as we settled into our new home in McDonough, Georgia, and joined Pinecrest Baptist Church under the leadership of Pastor John Anderson. Our family has been acclimating well to life in the South, and we're enjoying our chickens and bees." When I first read that, I thought that was some sort of southern dish, chickens and bees. But no, they raise chickens and bees, all right? So there you go. We look forward to fresh eggs and honey next year. And that line was what revealed the actual thing there to me. Our travels have increased this spring and summer due to trip postponements from 2020. We're excited about multiple teams that went out, often at the same time. For the first time in MMO history, we had boots on the ground in three different countries simultaneously. What a blessing. April, they were in El Salvador. They saw 1,080 patients with 126 professions of faith. In May, they were in the Dominican Republic. They saw 906 patients with 56 professions of faith. And then they were also, at the same time, they saw 275 patients at a different location with lots of church contacts. In June, they were in Tanzania, where they saw 1,744 patients with 693 professions of faith. And then they were in Peru that same month. They saw 520 patients, 118 professions of faith. Then they were, July, they were in the most places, Colombia, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Bolivia. And they saw 938 in Colombia, 329 professions of faith, 2733 patients in Honduras with 116 professions of faith. And isn't that great? Isn't that good? And, you know, they're not just left after that. They do try and make contacts and try and help a local church in that regard with those who have made professions of faith. So we praise the Lord. He says, please pray for our family during this time of great transition. Our teams include 31 members who relocated to the McDonough area. Please pray for housing, schooling, and overall changes. It's been quite the journey, but we're thankful. Please pray for safety. Smooth entry into each country. COVID has posed so many challenges, he has in parentheses. Pray for health and the sale of our property in Baltimore and guidance with a new office building in Georgia. We're praising God for his blessings in our life. Our family is strong and healthy. We love our new house, church, and school. Bradley was given an honorary doctorate of divinity from Pensacola Christian College in May. Kelly's back in healing. Kelly's back is healing well. August marks 1 year since her third surgery, and we're amazed at the healing that has come. Thank you for your faithfulness in praying and giving to our family ministry. We couldn't do this amazing ministry without your help. And it is amazing. You follow that, follow some of their social medias or their websites, and this is amazing what God has allowed them to do and how all of that is organized. And he's just using willing servants to facilitate the ministry. So we praise God for that. All right, and then the Claussen family to Mexico. We support them, and this is their May to June report. It says, God has been faithful to us in sending summer rains. The crops are green and beautiful at this time of year. How different from last year when we suffered the worst drought ever remembered. Things are well in this area, but we're praying for people suffering from so many catastrophic things happening in different areas around the world. The church is doing well. We've had a number of visitors since our last letter, and one couple has continued to come. We're using various means to reach out and are having an impact with people. Several have believed and received Christ. We're looking at some new things to integrate so as to become more effective in making the church known and reaching into homes. Please pray for this endeavor, as some of these are new to me and will take some learning, some of the things that they're doing. The man for whom I had asked you to pray has not returned to church. However, he knows that he should. Please pray that we will have the courage to stand against those who are opposing him. People here are very insecure and will not usually commit to coming to church until some trust in a relationship has been established. God has given me opportunities to counsel non-attenders, which also allows me to share Christ with them. I'm corresponding with a man who has accepted Christ, but is very confused since he's been taught that works are necessary to maintain salvation. Much of the groundwork has been laid in the Mennonite theology, but they do not fully trust Christ, saying that it couldn't be that simple. We've now listed our house with a realtor, hoping with more advertising we will secure a sale. Continued prayer is needed. Our church building is continuing, but for now has slowed down a bit. With a sale of our property, we could finish up the last necessary things in order to begin using it. The next steps are flooring, interior doors, trims, and light fixtures. When we started, we couldn't see how we would be able to come this far this quickly, but God has provided, so we give all praise to him. Our annual family camp was a real blessing. We had members from two new families come who had not been attended before. The messages were very, very helpful, and decisions were made. Some of our youth are struggling in their spiritual lives, feeling the pull of the world and what they're offering. Pray for them, as that would be very much appreciated. Mennonites moved to this area years ago to escape the world. Today, the youth are connected to many wrong influences via internet, and it's a real hindrance. I teach and counsel parents to have accountability measures in place with their kids and also that they can keep their children's hearts. It takes much courage for parents to do the right thing in raising kids these days. Please pray for our families. With camp being over, we settle into routine for a little while until some other church things come up and school starts. Thank you so much for your continued love and support. Your friendship is much appreciated. And that is Brother Will Claussen. So God is good, amen, and providing that opportunity for them and also for medical missions outreach. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer for a couple of minutes and ask the Lord to continue to bless these ministries. Father, we come before you this morning, and certainly we are grateful to be able to participate in the ministry of worldwide evangelism. And Lord, what a wonderful impact you have given medical missions outreach to use the need for physical care and to be able to provide that, and then, Lord, to give them also spiritual care and share with them your love for them and we rejoice in the many professions of faith, and we ask that you be with those churches that remain on the field there as they go and they make contacts and build relationships and seek to disciple those who have placed their faith and trust in you. I ask that you give guidance and wisdom to the pastors of those churches and to the church members that they would work together in continuing the cause of Christ. We pray that you provide the needs as you have abundantly for medical missions outreach. I know they're trying to now sell their building in Baltimore, and Lord, they're trying to get settled in their new home with many other families who have joined them. And we rejoice in your guiding them and leading them, and ask that you just provide the transition that would be most pleasing to you, Lord, that the ministry can continue to go on. Thank you for providing them the opportunity to travel. Even in the midst of a pandemic, Lord, they've been able to serve you. So we praise you for that. Thank you for the Klassen family as well and their faithfulness to you on a difficult field. And Lord, we pray that you would be with those with whom they are reaching out to. He mentions a gentleman, not by name, that knows he needs to return to church but faces many obstacles. And I pray that you would help Brother Klassen to make inroads in that relationship. And Lord, that you would prevail and that you would bind Satan and his attempts to prevent that from happening. Lord, many, it sounds, attended family camp and heard the preaching of your word, and many have accepted you as their Savior. And Lord, we know that that is so exciting, and it's a wonderful time. It's an energizing time. But Lord, we know that the enemy does not like to see that happen. And so certainly we ask that you would protect those new converts and be with those who are in their lives, that they would guide them into a relationship with you, Lord, that will help them to grow and to serve you with their lives. Lord, we rejoice in the report we heard from the Hallmans this week, and that Mrs. Hallman, Lori, is improving, and her health is improving. And Lord, we ask that that would continue to be the case. And Lord, that you would be with her as she continues to fight the symptoms that come along with treatment. And Lord, that you would strengthen her. We thank you for putting a wonderful church family around her down in the States and giving her the support she needs. And Lord, we just pray you continue to work in that situation. And no doubt there are many who are feeling sick and having illnesses and disease that they're fighting within the sound of my voice. We pray that you'd be with them too. We rejoice in new life. We thank you for the precious Roswell baby that was born this last week. And Lord, we just ask that you would give them health, those who are expecting as well. Lord, we just lift these before you and all the requests that I haven't mentioned. Lord, because you're an all-knowing God, you know them. And we ask that your will be done. Thank you for our time together. Bless the singing and preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Richard, let's sing our last song.
All right, our last song is "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus."
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when
Amen. I love that song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. We were at family camp this week, and it was a great camp. I think we had about 130 on average, different families. The weather was great. We met outside for the most part, and the preaching was good. Benjamin, my five-year-old, he came up to me, and he said, "Dad, I love you with my whole heart." He says, "But I love Jesus more. Is that okay?" I said, "Son, that is just wonderful. I'm glad that you love Jesus more. That's okay. But I'm glad I'm at the top of the human list. I will say that. But I'm just thankful for the week that we had at camp. It was a blessing." Speaking of that, Camp Yes is coming up this week, Wednesday through Saturday, and every week in the month of August. So if you have kids or have not yet registered, please do that. And if you're not participating, while your prayers would be a wonderful thing, and pray for God to work in the hearts of young people. All right, let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. I've decided that I'm going to stop limiting myself in how many verses I'm going to get through. If you realize, the last 3 weeks, I'll usually start off by saying something like, "All right, I promise we're going to do more than just two verses. All right, we're going to get a little bit further, and we're going to try." I'm just going to stop doing that, because I do intend to finish chapter 1 today, and I do believe that we'll move a little bit more rapidly through the book of Daniel. But just in case we don't, I'm not going to commit to it, so I hope that's all right with you. Daniel chapter 1. So I want to ask a question. I always start off this way. Wouldn't it be nice to know in advance how things would turn out? You know, if you like, you could see to the future a bit. You knew that if you did a particular thing or you made a particular decision, that you knew how it would turn out. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? So we've been studying the book of Daniel for the last 3 weeks. We've been kind of looking at taking a stand for God. And we've challenged you in that particular area, and it could be, you know, any number of things. Maybe it's a stand where you need to take a stand on a particular behavior, something that's not pleasing to God, or it's time to take a stand in that matter. Wouldn't it be nice to know, if you did take a stand you feel that God was wanting you to take, how it would turn out? You know, maybe it's to take a stand publicly in some way. You might say that too often you blend in with the world around you when you know that really you should take a stand for God. You should not participate in that particular thing, or you should not use that particular language, or you should do this, you should do that, you should take a stand, but you're a bit fearful that taking a stand may single you out in a way that would make you uncomfortable. Wouldn't it be nice to know how that would turn out if you took a stand for God in that area? You know, I really believe that's one of the reasons that the Bible is given to us in a narrative form in many ways. If you read through Scripture, God has conveyed a lot of truth through life stories of people. So we sort of can fly over different characters in the Bible, and essentially we see, you know, their whole life. We get to see it happen, and we get to learn from the mistakes that they made and the things that they did right. And it's convenient, and we know that that's good to do that, and we see different sets of principles. And, you know, I've quoted several scriptures in the New Testament. I always refer to Romans chapter 15, where it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." But there's also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that says, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition." So the things that we're reading, we are learning from them, and God uses these stories, these accounts, if you will, to help us see how things will turn out. So in a sense, I am saying to you this morning that we can see how some things will turn out. Now, I won't be as bold to say that we would see all the details and know exactly what would happen, but when you look at Scripture and you see how God uses people who take a stand for God and what He blesses them with, we can learn from that. We can learn from those principles, and I'm going to develop that theme this morning with the Lord's help. For people who chose to obey God, look in Scripture at what happened in their lives. For people who chose to disobey God, look in Scripture at what happened in their lives. This morning, I want to look at a passage of Scripture that shows us how things turn out. We left a group of likely teenage boys who had taken a stand for God in a particular area last week. And we'll look to that here in just a second. So they were deported from Jerusalem. We know the story. They were essentially kidnapped, taken into captivity in Babylon by a wicked king named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he changed their names to names that would not honor their God. He put them in schools to teach them ways that would not honor their God. They were cut off from their Jewish heritage, and they were permitted and, in fact, asked to eat from the king's table, the king's meat and the king's wine. And it was on that last point that these young men decided to take a stand for God. Even though Nebuchadnezzar was known for being cruel and ruthless and a murderous king, taking that stand, they risked, at the very least, promotion and popularity, but likely they risked death by saying that they would not eat of the king's meat or drink of the king's wine. So what they did, respectfully, these young men asked permission that they would not eat from the king's table, that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, but instead they would receive pulse, vegetables of sorts, and drink water. And of course, the reason they took that stand on this particular issue is because to do otherwise would be a direct violation of God's word. So we established that last week. Eating the food for them would have been a direct violation of Old Testament dietary laws of that day. And it would have violated the scripture and likely, as we studied it, would have been offered up to false gods. So it was necessary for them to take that stand and not defile themselves with the king's meat. So the man that was in charge of their care allowed the young men this special diet. And 10 days later, they looked more healthy than the ones that had eaten from the king's table. So the question is, how will it turn out? They took this stand. The short-term results, why they seem surprisingly good, right? I mean, they look better. They fared better. And we're going to read exactly how that turned out. But what about the long term? What is the effect of that? So with that question in mind, let's look at Daniel chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 14 and just read down to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. In other words, he let this happen. Don't have to eat the king's meat. You can eat pulse and water. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Wow. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them these things. Listen, he gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I found that interesting to read verse 20. He found them 10 times better. Like, you know, that's just an interesting number. 10 times better than anyone else. There may be some significance there that we'll look into. So we're going to look this morning at the results of taking a stand for God. And I hope to challenge you to learn from their example to do what was right. So first of all, we notice that this text makes it clear that these young men received from God wisdom because they were willing to take a stand. As a result of taking a stand for God, God chose to bless them with the gift of wisdom. And actually, all through the book of Daniel, we see him and his three friends are doing great things for the Lord. They're used in mighty ways. We would call them today wise beyond their years. Why is that? Well, because it came from God, and it came as a result of their decision to take a stand for God. You get where I'm going with this? You could probably make application to the sermon right here and now. Take a stand for God and he will give you wisdom. Obey God and he will give you wisdom. So this text is teaching us that God blessed them with wisdom in part because of the stand that they were willing to take for him. I mean, if verses 8 through 16 had not happened, where Daniel purposed in his heart and they asked not to eat the meat, had that not happened, then 17 through 21 would not have been able to happen, right? There would be no reason for them to stand out and God give wisdom, because they disobeyed like everybody else. They ate of the king's meat that had been, you know, offered to false gods and was a violation of Old Testament law. So these young men were supernaturally blessed because of the stand they took for God. He gave them wisdom. So I want you to think about this very closely at this point of the discussion. Think about God blessing people with wisdom. How much value do you place on possessing and growing in wisdom? I want you to think about that question. If you hear nothing else today, hear this question. How much value do you place on possessing and growing in the wisdom of God? Please don't give an automatic answer. It says, oh, so much value, Pastor Tricky. I mean, I give so much value. Definitely, it's important. As you think about the way you live, your priorities, your what's important to you, what you strive for, what you sacrifice for, how much value do you place on possessing and growing in the wisdom of God? You see, I'm asking this question, if there's a relationship between receiving God's wisdom and taking a stand for God, then your willingness to stand for God is directly related to the value you place on God's wisdom and receiving it. So you see, I'm trying to catch you in thinking something here. If you value growing in your wisdom and God's wisdom, then you're going to place an important value on taking a stand for what's right. You see, they're related. How can they not be? If you're going to want to grow in the wisdom of God, then you're going to need to be willing to take a stand for God. So how much value do you place on possessing and growing in the wisdom of God? You see, unfortunately, what happens is so many of God's children place a higher value on things. They place a higher value on something outside of God's wisdom. And what happens is when the time comes to take a stand for God, they fall. They sort of disappear into the background. They don't want to make much of a stink. Why? Because the value of growing in wisdom, in God's wisdom, is not that important. In fact, other things are. Other areas of their life are more important. The Lord wants us to see that when they stood for God, he blessed them with wisdom as a result of it. Supernatural wisdom, I'd say. Now, I'd like us to leave the book of Daniel for just a moment, and I want to show you a few other passages in the Bible regarding wisdom. This is likely not new to you, but it's important. I read a post this morning, and someone said, you know, when you come to church, what you get out of the sermon is not 100% the responsibility of the person preaching. Right? Some people would come to say, well, you know, I've heard this before, and that's really kind of a prideful approach. What we need is a more humble approach that, I may have heard it before, but I need it again. So if I say something that you already know, then ask the Lord to reiterate it in your heart and begin to evaluate your life and see if you're applying these truths to your life. So let's look outside of the book of Daniel for just a minute. Words like wise, wisdom, wise-hearted, wisely, these are all words that show up in Scripture. It's a very important study, and in fact, one that would encourage you. In fact, get a concordance out and look up wise and go through the Scripture and look where you find it. I want us to think about wisdom from a couple of different perspectives this morning. First of all, its source. Where does wisdom come from? And the collective answer amongst the group here today would be, I would hope, God, right? Wisdom comes from God. Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 6. If we want to be wise, we have to decide, first of all, where are we going to get our wisdom from? What source are we going to seek? Well, Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." Could stop right there, right? Okay, it comes from the Lord. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, some other verses to go along with this idea. Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Colossians 2:3, and this is referring to Christ. It says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In whom? In Christ. All the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Now, when you put all this together, the message is vibrantly clear. Wisdom comes from God, and every human has to decide, am I going to look to the Lord for my understanding of life, or am I going to look to some other source? Because let me tell you, you know as well as I do that there's lots of sources out there that people look to for wisdom. And it always will come up short in some way unless that source is the Word of God. There's a lot of wonderful sources. There's a lot of wonderful books, a lot of wonderful teachings and helps that will help you in wisdom. But I guarantee you that it is based in Scripture. And if you're reading a book about wisdom that doesn't contain Scripture, you know, I would suggest putting it in the garbage, because wisdom comes from God. If you can't see that, then you're not listening to these verses. It comes from the Lord. So the implications to our friends back in the book of Daniel is obvious. The stand that they were taking, it wouldn't make sense to anyone unless they were viewing life from God's point of view. Don't you see that? Why take a stand that might cost you popularity or promotion? Why would you do that? Well, because the wisdom of God tells me to. Why take a stand that might cost you in the long run? Or why would you take a stand when they say the people back home will never know whether you did or not? Particularly in this instance, right? They're away from home. And all the other people are thinking it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's the king's meat. It's going to be good tasting. We might as well just do it. I mean, we're kind of being forced here. We don't want to die. It's not like anybody back home will know. So why not just go with the flow? Well, because God's wisdom tells me that he's everywhere and that he sees. And I want to please him, even if the folks back home never find out that I didn't. And yet here we are today finding out, right, in Scripture that they took a stand. Why honor God when he has let this great trial come upon you? Because his wisdom teaches me that he can use these trials for my good if I will allow him to. You see, your source of wisdom is going to have a profound effect on your willingness to take a stand for God. Do you value wisdom? Do you value God's understanding and knowledge? The Bible also speaks to us about the means of wisdom. The source is God. Turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Certainly hold your place in Daniel, because we'll be back there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. God is not going to give us wisdom in a vacuum. I hope you know what I mean by that. I say that a lot, you know, in a vacuum. I just mean that there's going to be a purpose behind it. He uses definite means to get his job done. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Here's what the scripture says. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Did I skip a verse there? I think I skipped verse 4. Verse 4 says, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. That's a big verse to skip. I don't know how I did that. That's verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Verse 6 now. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The means that God uses to help his children become wise is this right here. This is the means. It is his words. It is the scripture. You may say, well, yeah, I know that, Pastor Tricky. It's the Bible. Well, I'm glad you know that. But let's prove it, right? Let's dive nose deep into the Word of God and scoop up all the wisdom that he's willing to give us. It's easy to say we know that and believe it, but if you are not a faithful studier of God's Word, then I would say your actions do not back up your words. And you know, I could multiply this topic all day long. There's another great one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14, I actually posted this because it was meaningful to me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and hast known of whom thou hast learned them. This is speaking of Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's a terrific compliment to Timothy's mother and grandmother, if you study that out a bit, who are mentioned earlier in that book. So God uses his word to help us become wise. We certainly know that's true for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because that's how they decided that they would take a stand for God in the matter of the king's meat. It was a violation of Old Testament law, so they were gaining wisdom from knowing God's word, and they were willing to take a stand. A lot of what the Babylonians did to them, they sort of let go by. It was when they had to violate the word of God that they knew they had to take a stand. Friend, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you seeking to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the scriptures? Are you taking advantage of the source of wisdom that God has made available to you? You hold it in your hand. You have a Bible. You don't have a Bible, I will get you a Bible. You need to have a Bible. It is a source of wisdom. Would you look now at Exodus chapter 31? The Bible speaks to us about the extent of wisdom. This is a very intriguing passage and one that I believe can be very helpful to what we're talking about. It applies to every person within the sound of my voice, and that's what makes it special. So this verse is talking about the craftsmen that were involved in building the temple, okay? So if you're thinking, well, wisdom is good for the preacher, wisdom is good for the Sunday school teacher, for spiritual people, no, listen. Exodus 31, verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. You see, I believe this passage teaches us that wisdom is not simply a matter of teaching or preaching or public speaking. God's wisdom can be put on display in the smallest details of life. So if you're thinking, well, you know, this wisdom is nice, but it's not like I'm going to be preaching anytime soon, or it's not like this or that, let me tell you something. The way a person cooks a meal can demonstrate God's wisdom. The way a person fixes a car can be a demonstration of godly wisdom. It's not just that God cares about work done by leaders in the church. God cares about every person's work. And when it's done right, the craftsman can be just as wise and pleasing to God as church leadership. You see, it's an all-encompassing act. Wisdom is important for everybody within the sound of my voice, not just those who are preaching or leading. No, Daniel and his three friends had to understand that concept because they were willing to take their stand in the area that some would consider to be inconsequential. No big deal. Well, it was a big deal because they knew what God's word said about it. So the Bible talks about the source of wisdom. It comes from God. The means of wisdom, the words of God, the extent of it applies to all of us. And then its value. Look now at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. By the way, there are many, many verses like this in God's word. But think about Daniel and his friends and ask yourself if this was their view of godly wisdom. I love this verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Was that Daniel and his friend's view of wisdom? It most certainly was, because they're putting their life on the line to keep the word of God. Man, do you value it that way? Your willingness to take a stand is directly related to the value you place on the wisdom of God. Do you value wisdom the way they do? Proverbs 23:23 tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. Isn't that cool verse? Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. I don't think it was an easy thing for Daniel and his friends to do, to take this stand. I mean, maybe it was easier than I think it was, but it had to be difficult to know that this likely will result in their likely their death, right? So I don't think it was easy for them to do it. But if you read the end of chapter 1, as we just did, I think they would all agree that it was worth it. Look at what we received in return. Look at how God has blessed us. We bought truth and we sold it not. We gained wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let me show you a couple other places before we get back to Daniel. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, you see one last emphasis in God's word regarding wisdom. It's not the last one. It's just the last one we're looking at today. One last emphasis regarding God's wisdom is that it comes with blessing. It comes with blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, by the way, are always connected in Scripture. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 10 says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Manifold, manifest, to make known, to bring about, that we may know it of God. So the big picture, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they took a courageous stand. And one of the results of that stand, God blessed him for that. And he'll do that for you. Won't he? Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning, let's take a stand for God. Let's value wisdom that he gives. When you take a stand personally against an area of sin in your life and you say, you know, I'm not going to keep doing that. I'm going to put it off and I'm going to replace it with what's right. Guess what's happening? You are growing in wisdom. If you take a stand publicly for God, you say, I'm not going to keep talking that way. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to keep participating in that activity. I'm going to be different. And the next time that comes up, I'm going to stand for God and do what God's word says, whatever the nature of that stand might be. Are you willing to take that stand? Because guess what's happening when you do? You are growing in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You're growing and you're becoming more like him, like these young men over 2,500 years ago were doing, taking a stand, and God blessed them with wisdom. And the real question from point number one, and don't be afraid of point number one, because two and three are short. What about these teenagers? What else happened when these teenagers stood up for God? Do you value wisdom enough to take the stand necessary to get it? Okay, so what else happened to these teenagers? Well, they received wisdom, but they also received, point number two, stature. And I don't mean fame. With fame and popularity are not the end game here. Now, that may come in some ways. I'll show you how in Scripture. But the text says that when their training was all over, when they were presented to the king, these four youths stood out 10 times better than anybody else. There was something different about them. And then verse 19 says that as the king talked to them, not one was found like these four. In fact, verse 20, again, says 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all the king's realm, in the whole kingdom. These four youngsters, teenagers, again, do not negate how important young people are in the plan of God. You know, you should always, young people that are listening today, you should always pay close attention, because church is not just for your parents. It's not just for older people. It is for you as well. If you are a young person, say less than 20 years old, and you are listening to preaching today, you need to be thankful for whatever it is that led you there, because that is God's wisdom you're getting. You're learning his word. You're going to apply this to your life. And these young men show that it's possible to take a stand for God because you know what is right from the word of God. In other words, God can put his product, his wisdom, on display yesterday. He can do it today, and he can do it tomorrow. Now, you know, when we talk about stature, we're not talking about gaining personal fame. We're talking about living in a way that brings glory to God because you're willing to be different. You're willing to stand out in a crowd. Pastor Tricky, I really don't like to stand out in a crowd. I don't necessarily like to be all eyes on me. I don't like it either. You know what? But if standing for God, people see and people notice, and God decides to use your testimony to draw someone else to a relationship with him, well, you know what? That's worth it, isn't it? Do you remember that's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth? The scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So Jesus is our example here. As a result, people were regularly astonished by his lifestyle and his words. Let me show you a New Testament example, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. The response of the people to Christ's ministry shows how this principle developing was true in his life. Matthew 13, verse 54, it says, "And when he came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, they were like, what? Who is it? This is the guy, right, that grew up around here. And, you know, remember what Scripture tells us about ministering in your hometown. It's a difficult place to do it. But these people looked at Jesus and they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Doesn't he just, you know, have regular parents and regular siblings? How is this happening? You say, well, Pastor Tricky, duh, he's the son of God. Well, I get that, but guess what? If you're a believer today in Jesus Christ, you too are a child of God. You too are belong to God the Father. And as you are willing to take a stand for him at the appropriate time and in the appropriate ways, like these four Hebrew children were, then you are like Jesus Christ. And the result of you taking that stand will be wisdom and stature. You will stand out in a crowd and you will have special opportunity to bring glory to God the Father. You will. And it doesn't, we already talked about that. It's more than just, you know, standing here preaching. That's every field and trade that's represented within the sound of my voice today, you have an opportunity to stand out for the Lord. If you use biblical principles to communicate with other people and about other people, you're going to stand out in the crowd. You know, it's easy to get into a gossiping match with somebody. Ooh, if you use biblical principles to communicate, you're going to stand out. If you have biblical principles of morality, you're going to stand out in this world, are you not? If you control your emotions with biblical truth, you're going to stand out. And God will give you a platform to use the ministry in a way that will draw people to Christ if you're willing to take a stand. So the obvious question is, are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to be used of God in the way that you trust him and follow him? Are you seeing the same results as these four Hebrew children saw? So what was the stand that the Hebrew children took? Was it a difficult one? Absolutely. But were the results worth it? They certainly were. Now there's one more result I'd like to us to ...21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Whoop-de-doo. What do you mean? So he was there a while. You know, I realize most of us would sort of, if we read that quickly, would feel that way, right? But when the original readers would have heard this, I think they would have stood in awe because Cyrus was not the king of Babylon. This is where we're at right now, right? Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Cyrus was not the king of Babylon. Cyrus was the king of Persia. Persia was the next great world empire that toppled Babylon. The point is, God blessed Daniel with longevity because of his faithfulness to God. Really, it's a summary verse for the whole book. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. And it's right here in chapter 1. Daniel started serving as a teenager, and he would serve under a variety of Babylonian kings who kept coming and going and coming and going. And finally, when Israel's captivity, which was 70 years, ended, God raised up Cyrus in the country of Persia to conquer Babylon. And then, of course, we know they eventually allowed Israel to return to her land. So the point is, Daniel took a stand for God, and he was not just a flash in the pan. His life was long, and his ministry widespread. You read the early part of this chapter, and you see what he and his friends did, and you say, wow, you know, they just committed political suicide, taking a stand and not eating the sumptuous meal at the king's table. How ridiculous. They're not going to have any kind of influence at all. They're done. You know what? Listen to me this morning. One of God's children isn't done until God says he's done, and that's the end of it. God let Daniel have a remarkable ministry. You can throw him in the lion's den, but if God says he's not done yet, he's not done. You can throw him in the fiery furnace. If God says they're not done, they're not done. God controls that, and God gave for the Lord. God blessed these men with wisdom and with stature and with longevity. You might say, well, is that an absolute promise? Well, yes and no. I don't want to tell you this morning, if you take a stand for God, then I guarantee you a long physical life. I wouldn't do that. The scripture's not telling us that, right? Let's face it. Some folks have taken a stand for God, and it cost them their life, didn't it? Some folks have taken a stand for God, and they got fired. Some have taken a stand for God and they were cut out of the picture. You say, well, that's encouraging. You know, we're not necessarily talking about a long physical life or a long career, but believers in Christ don't think about longevity in the same terms, do we? You know, we have eternal life. And what, you know, I always marvel at this. Our life is just a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And everyone that's older than me here today knows that it gets faster as you get older. Sitting here at 41 years old, and I'm thinking, wow, I graduated 20-some years ago. What about, I can't, and I see people, pictures of my friends that I graduated with. Man, they're old. They got gray hair and glasses and wrinkles. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I better look in the mirror, right? Time just zips by. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. So we don't think about longevity as believers in the same way that the world does. My scripture, the Bible tells me to be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We know that we are recipients of eternal life. And if your stand for God cost you your life, your reward and crown in heaven will be abundant. And you will have been used by God to impact eternity. What about the martyrs? How many of you have read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and other literature like that, and books that detail people who were willing to stand for their faith and they were killed because of it? Let me tell you, the reach that those individuals continue to have today for God, he uses that. Our perspective, we need help with this sometimes, don't we? Our perspective is so limited by temporal things. But if you know what, God's perspective is eternal. Time doesn't mean anything to him. Our life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. In conclusion this morning, think about what God allowed these teenagers to do because of their obedience to take a stand for what's right. Are you willing to take a stand for what the Word of God says to be right? These young men, supernaturally blessed because they took a stand. God gave them wisdom. When thinking about God blessing people with wisdom, honestly, my friend, how attractive is that to you? How attractive is gaining God's wisdom to you? How much value do you place on possessing and growing in the wisdom of God? As you think about the way that you live and your priorities and the things that you strive for, how much value do you place on growing in the wisdom and the knowledge of God? I want to ask you this morning, are you seeking to grow in your knowledge and understanding of Scripture? Are you taking advantage of the source of wisdom that God has made available to you? Are you increasing in stature because of your obedience to take a stand for what is right? Because if you use biblical principles to live your life, you're going to stand out. God will give you a voice because your voice is his voice. And it's not about self-promotion. It's about pointing people to the Savior. He will give you favor with God. He may change your life drastically in order to take a stand for him. Look at how these young people were blessed and used. That's wonderful. Let me close by asking, maybe this morning, this does not seem very attractive to you. Maybe you're here and you really don't care too much about the things of God. Maybe you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. The Bible says that now is the time for salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. Friend, each of us was born with a sin debt that we have absolutely no ability to pay for ourselves. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This sin will not be allowed into heaven. No amount of God's good works that we do would ever be enough to make heaven. It just wouldn't be. The Bible calls these our righteousnesses, and they are as filthy rags. Something had to be done because of this great debt. Someone had to pay the price if we were able to see heaven. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He was planted in her womb by the Holy Spirit. He did not inherit the sin nature of man. He lived for 33 years. He was falsely accused. He was crucified on the cross, and he paid for your sin and for mine. Jesus Christ paid for it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus died on the cross, but it doesn't end there because the scripture tells us 3 days later, he rose again, amen, conquering death forever and ever. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. today is the day to do that. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Say, Pastor Tricky, the wisdom thing sounds good, but it's not that great to me. I'm more concerned about my salvation. Maybe you're within the sound of my voice this morning and you don't know Christ. Today is the day to accept him. And Christian that's here this morning, how much value do you place on gaining wisdom from God? It's going to show in your willingness to take a stand for God on what you know is right. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the example that you've given us in Scripture. What a remarkable thing for such young men to, because they know your law, take a stand for what they know is right. Thank you for that example. May that teach the youngest of us here today, all the way up to the oldest person within the sound of my voice, may we learn that taking a stand for you is how we grow in wisdom. And the stands we take are a result of how much of the word we know. So Lord, the challenge really today is this. Am I studying my Bible? Am I reading my Bible? Do I place value on the church and attending church and learning from the Bible? Is all of this important to me? These are the questions that I hope that we're asking ourselves this morning. Lord, it is my prayer that everyone within the sound of my voice does know you as their personal Savior, but I don't know that that's the case. Only you can see their heart. And if someone is listening this morning and they don't know 100% for sure that if they were to die today, that heaven was their home, Lord, would you give them the courage to speak with me or someone who can take them from your word and show them how they can know for sure that heaven is their home. Lord, help us to take a stand for you in this coming week. Who knows what opportunities would present themselves? Lord, you do, but we don't. May we take a stand that allows us to have an influence for you and for your kingdom. Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me just make a couple of quick announcements and we'll be dismissed. Next Sunday, after the morning service, we are going to have a time of fellowship and food. We're going to have burgers and chips and things like that right after this service. So at this time next week, we want to invite everyone to stay around and enjoy a time of food and fellowship with us. And that will immediately be followed by a shorter afternoon service, and then we'll be done for the day. So there's a little bit of planning that still has to go in place. I've looked at rules and things along those natures regarding COVID restrictions. And so we're looking forward to this. A lot of people have asked, when are we going to have a fellowship again? And my original thought was Sunday evening would be easier, but Sunday morning after church will be great. So I want to invite you to stay. And if you have questions about that, certainly send me an email, text message, or come and see us. But we're looking forward to that. So that's next Sunday after the morning service. Do be praying for Camp Yes this week. It's the teenagers that are having. I know there's over 30 registered at this point. And so as the week goes on, sometimes that number goes up. So be praying for that. Be praying for one another. We'll be back here tonight at 5 o'clock. You're certainly invited. And so I want to say Lord bless you and have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time.